lives and in our minds, we have the strength and the ability to overcome anything that we find in this world. Death cannot even keep us, because you have been victorious through your grave. And Father, we just, what a mindset and a trip. Trust if we would keep that in the front of our minds every day. Lord, that'll give us that understanding that we need. And Lord, as you know, we study it tonight about the wisdom and understanding and what it means. And God, that we can really apply it to our heart and life. And Lord, we thank you for the understanding you give us. Our abilities and our minds can only go so far. But God, you lift us up and carry us much further. We thank you for that. God, as we study tonight, may you do that. May you open our minds. May you open our hearts. May you teach us so that we may be that person that you so desire us to be. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that in your son's name. Amen. Turn to your Bible. So a very familiar verse. We're going to study again tonight about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Very familiar verse. Many of you probably quote it. But we're going to dice it up and tear it apart in a little bit. And again, I've mentioned many times, Proverb is the book of wisdom. When it talks about her, when it talks about the advice or her ways are pleasant. And I think wisdom is the referring to the her. And so everywhere as you go through the book of Proverbs, Solomon is giving you that end of his life wisdom. The book of Ecclesiastes, we know that he went back and looked over his life, and he gave much wisdom and much instruction through the book of Ecclesiastes. But this book of wisdom, as I study through it and I read it, it's a one thing that we need to understand. And I think I'm trying to hit home on this a little bit this morning and also tonight, is that one of the problems I believe in our Christian lives, and we all do this, I truly believe I'm throwing all of us under the bus tonight, is we come to a point where we think our wisdom is enough to make it. Because if we had a question on an exam, we would probably answer it biblically. But as we live our everyday life, we would give a different answer. Because if we truly believe that our wisdom only goes so far, then we would ask God every time we make a choice. If we truly believe that our wisdom would only go so far, we would never tell God in our prayer life what he needs to do. You know, so we understand the truth of this, but it's very difficult in a modern world we live today with all the technology and everything is at our fingertips. And, you know, I was watching a guy that went up to the game show here in Clearfield, and Jerry, one of the guys, you know, Jerry Lim, he has a booth there for coyote hunting. And so I went up and he asked me to pray before he spoke, and it was kind of cool. So we got to pray for all the guys out there, and he spoke about what he was doing. And we were talking about the availability and the technology, and the one guy asked a question about calling. And this was just before Jerry got on. He was about goose calling, and the guy looked at him and says, you know, that's what YouTube's for. I don't have an answer to that. Look it up on YouTube. Well, you're here supposed to be teaching us about these things. He said, YouTube has become man's best friend. And I thought, well, you know, I do look up things on YouTube, and it's a good tool. But man's wisdom today, I truly believe, feel that they have outdone God. I really believe in their technology and in their wisdom and their AI, the artificial intelligence and the robots that are being built and all these things that are coming out. It's man truly believes that they have outsmarted God. And we know that's not true. We know by the scripture that's not true. But yet how much of our lives do we, in a small way, portray the same thing? Because we don't ask God enough. We don't rely on him enough. So what I first would like to do is, we know we're coming out of James 3 when it talks about the wisdom. Who among you is wise and of understanding? That question should hopefully really resonate and pound in your mind. Because if we would be truthful, none of us could say, well, yeah, I'm there. I got the wisdom. I got the understanding. We all have it. But do we have what the Bible teaches? Because from that, if you go back into Proverbs 3, before you even get to the familiar text, we need to go back to Proverbs 2 to find out why is this type of wisdom so important. Because if I was to have the availability to give every one of you an easy life, no pain, no sorrows, easy life, would you take it? I would. I'd sign up twice if I had to. Absolutely. Because if you study this through, people, individuals who attest to this will have an easier life. I'm like, well, why didn't I know this 25 years ago? Why am I just realizing this? Now listen, nothing's a guarantee in life, and we're going to get affected by the brokenness. That's why we need to understand it. So back into chapter 2, the very first few verses, we're going to read down through verse 5. It says, my son, as Solomon talking to his son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up the voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thy understanding the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Let that sink in. You and I will never be able to find the understanding and the knowledge of God until we first fear him. And we are living in a world that does not fear God. And listen, it rubs off into the church. It rubs off onto us. Because as Kim and I were saying, you know, eternity, you know, you hear about it all your life. Grow up in a church all our life, you know, you hear about the rapture, you hear about eternity, you hear about heaven, you hear about all that stuff. And now that I'm 60, I'm like, man, that just seems like forever. That's like, it's way out there somewhere. In reality, you're one breath away. And so we can't fathom time or a place that has no time. So it's eternity. So what Solomon is saying here is that for you and I, in verse 5, for us to, the understanding, the fear of the Lord. You first must understand the fear of the Lord before you can understand the knowledge of God. Because it's the knowledge of God that we talked about this morning. Once we get the knowledge of God, then we get the wisdom of God. Then we're able to figure out things in life. And the only way we can do that is because he allows us that privilege. Verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth it cometh knowledge and understanding. He lay up a sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that are upright. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity in every good path. And maybe it's just me, but when I studied through this, I thought, when in my life did I all of a sudden not fear God as much as I should? When did that happen? If somebody asked you, when did you stop fearing God? Well, I did. I fear him. Well, good for you, because I stopped a while ago, and I don't know why. Because I'm living life. We're living life the way we choose. We're not asking him all the right questions. We're not even asking him permission at times in our life. We're living our life the way our agendas want us to live it. And so when we bring this down home, it's like, I don't fear, and to fear God means you reverent him. To reverent God means you truly believe he will do exactly what he says. And that means held in the hollow of his hand, he'll either keep it open and hold you, or he'll squeeze you until you agree. One or the other, you're in the hollow of God's hand. With that understanding, now let's go and understand what chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Very familiar verses. We probably memorized them, said them many times in our lives. But you can't understand these two verses until you first get verses 1 through 5 of chapter 2. Because just to come to verse 5 and say, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, well, what does that mean? What does that look like when I trust in God wholeheartedly, or basically, how do I portray that in my life? Well, one of the things we need to understand is that when we trust in God full-heartedly or with all of our heart, what we are doing is we will show that by not leaning on our own understanding. That means in our prayer life, I mean, God wants to hear our desires, right? Ask what you will. God wants us to cry out to him where we're at. He wants us to share our hearts. He doesn't need us to say it, to know it, but he wants to hear it from us. And basically, that we're getting on his page. And so we pray to God. We talk to God. We want things. And so we share it with God. But then again, as we always say, end it with your will be done. And I had talked to several people through this, and they're willing to pray, thy will be done. But boy, do they get upset when it doesn't come the way they prayed. So, God, your will be done, but it better be what I want, is exactly how they live their life. They'll never say it, but they'll live it. And folks, that's one of the problems we have in our Christian world today. They hear our words, but our actions are so inconsistent with our words. Because if you're going to pray and you're going to say, God, thy will be done, that means you're going to accept what he does. You're not going to kick it. You're not going to argue against it. You're not going to pray that changes. You know, sometimes I think we pray for God to remove the mountain instead of carrying us through the mountain. And God says, I'm not going to remove it. I'll carry you, but I'm not going to move it. So then we get all excited. And then we get blaming God. God, it's all your fault. God, you could have changed this. God, you could have stopped that. Listen, we hear it all the time. And when you make those phrases and those statements, you did not really truly pray according to your will, God. And so, knowing that God, again, giving it all your heart, how do you measure that? You measure it by not leaning on your own understanding. How many times have you prayed and God didn't answer it right away, so you did your own deal anyway? I've done it. I'm sure we've all done it once or twice in our life. But the key is, he'll make straight your paths. And we're going to understand that phrase as we go down through tonight. Our human insights are never enough. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Let's turn there quickly. Isaiah 55. Some of you may know it off heart, but I like to turn to it. To make sure that we all know that it's in the scriptures. It's not just something said. Verse 8 and 9, and this is a great verse to try to understand the concept of why our minds, humanly speaking, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are, our minds will never be enough. Because verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So how can we figure out what God, the knowledge of God is? How can we figure out what the plan of God is for my life? If his ways are so much higher, his thoughts are so much higher, I got to let him do that. I got to get on his page. Now again, our minds will never reach that level, this side of heaven. But that's when our human thinking can only go so far. We will never be able, without God's help, understand the knowledge of God, to fear him, to love him. Again, and all the results were listed there in chapter 2, going down through. The knowledge, the understanding, seeking after this wisdom as silver and a precious treasure. You actually have to have a desire to seek it. It doesn't just come. The knowledge of God just doesn't happen. You have to have a desire to seek it, as if it is the most precious gem you could ever own. And by the way, it is, because it's going to allow us, and we'll see later on as we study through, it's going to allow us to accomplish things that we would never accomplish any other way. So for you and I to trust in the Lord, what it looks like is we're not leaning on our own thinking. We're not leaning on our own way of putting it together. We're not leaning on our own strengths. And so you measure how much you're trusting God in your own life. How much do you take control? How much do you wait on God? How much do you go to God for the decisions you need to make? How often are you spending time with him? Are you gaining the relationship with him? If not, you're not trusting him. And according to the verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart is the very beginning of knowing him. You got to trust him. And listen, we're living in a world where we've been dumped on many, many, many times by leadership. Trust me. How many times have you trusted somebody only to find out they completely lied in everything they said, or to completely find out something different? You see, we live in a world that's common anymore, that's norm anymore. We can't become callous to that. If you trust him, you will not think through on your own. You will not apply it to your own understanding. And I don't know about you, but boy, when I started really thinking through this, and then I started thinking through, okay, some of the decisions I've made, some of the things I've done, and I'm like, you know, on that one, I went to God after I already messed it up. How many times have you gone to God after you messed it up? You know, it's like, oh, I got this one. I can handle this one. But then all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe that's not exactly what God wanted. And again, it's not terrible things. It's not bad things. But if I'm truly going to trust him, I've got to be willing to let go completely. Trust doesn't mean I'm going to hang on and see what you do first. Trust means you let go and walk into the unknown with God. Show me in Scripture where God had to prove himself before he asked them to go. Abraham, go. Where? I'll show you. Abraham, sacrifice Isaac. Priest, step into the Jordan as it's overflowing, running very fast. I'll stop it. Well, God, won't you stop it before I step? No. You step, I'll stop. Everywhere in Scriptures, God is saying, you need to put that desire. You need to step it out first. You got to seek wisdom as a precious jewel. When we start seeking it that way, when we start wanting it that way, we start trusting God before, I'm going to tell you, it opens up a whole new world. It opens up a whole new level of understanding for God. And to me, that's what's exciting. So we trust him and leaning not on understanding. Okay, in all thy ways, interesting enough, when you see this, he is a very trustworthy God, and all the wisdom that you and I can acquire will never meet his standard. Again, Isaiah. Proverbs 12:25 says the same thing about this acquiring the trust for God. So Proverbs 12:25 states this. As we turn there, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. So what's that mean? As he's trustworthy, basically the wisdom acquired never replacing the need of a full trust in God. His ways are superior. We can't help but be. The heart here in the Hebrew refers to one's emotions. Now, we've known that the heart means mind, can be interchanged with the heart and the mind, the will. But he's referring to emotions right here. And so when we are to trust God with all of our heart, not only in the truth, but even in our emotions, we are to trust God. And I found that very interesting, that he would write it in a way that would say your heart basically is referred to as the emotions. And again, that's what Proverbs 12:25 is saying. Many other places you could go to. But often is also in the intellect and understanding. He deals with the emotion. He deals with the intellect. He deals with the understanding. And also with discernment, reflection, our will. All of those go in with the heart. So when it says, with all of my heart, what it's saying is, with my intellect, my emotions, my discernment, my choices, my will, all of it is going to trust God. And so think of those different things in your life, a time when you were completely a basket case for whatever reason may be in there. Did Did you trust God in the midst of that? Sometimes we get to a point we have nothing else to do but to trust God. Or even in the intellect, when you can't figure out what it is or the next step for your life, what do? You just say, okay, this is option A, B, C. I'm just going to choose one and hope it's the right one. Or do you back off, pray, and wait for God to open the door? Some things, which again, going back into this morning, some things we don't have time to take a day or two, do we? Sometimes decisions need to be made right at the moment. And those decisions will be made right when you've already are trusting God, when you have built up a rapport, when you've built up that strength to trust him. You'll be able to make those quick decisions. And so then, a lot of times my prayer is, thank you, God, for allowing me to make that right choice. Because you're already knowing what that right choice may be. And so we see the fear, it starts. Then it starts with the trust. If you want to fear God, you've got to trust God. And you reverently come to him and say, God, your ways are higher than mine. Your thoughts are higher than mine. No matter how intelligent I get in the truth of the word of God, it's still not going to be enough. And in a world of wisdom and technology, that's a hard pill for many people to swallow. In fact, when you talk to people who have a high IQ and are able to accomplish great things, it's hard to talk to them about a God that's unseeable. It's hard to talk to them about a God because they have to be able to dice it. They have to be able to see it, figure it out. And sometimes the intellectual people have a hard time just practicing faith because they're all about seeing the substance, seeing the proof. And so no matter how much intelligence we have, it ain't going to matter. And what amazes me is how many times that I think in our lives we've lived or done different than what we know in our head is right by simply going out, by simply doing other things. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways. Interesting enough, you and I trusting God and his smarts, his way of doing things. This is, I guess you could say, is not just a, okay, God, I give up. It's not a, okay, God, you win. It's more of a trusting him in a way that all of our heart, again, he will make what? He will make our paths straight. He will direct our path. Do you really think God, now think through this whole scenario here, because in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were kicked out of the garden and cherubims were set at the gate so they did not go back in. And I'd mentioned before, it wasn't a punishment as much as God was protecting his creation. Because once they ate of the tree of good and evil, if they would have ate of the tree of life, they would remain that way forever. They never would have been able to be redeemed. So he protected them. Kicking them out, he protected them. All through Christ coming, paying our penalty, God's desire is that every one of his creatures are redeemed back to him. He is wanting all of that to come back to him. Our whole world at one point in time is going to go back to him. And that's what he wants. And he is working towards that. And as he works towards that, even this, God wants you and I to have a direct path. He wants us to have a path. And again, when we see this concept of a direct path, it's more so that as it's a guidance in the path. Now, again, many of you probably heard the story of the shepherd and the sheep. When a shepherd today, or even back in that day, when they would change feeding ground, the shepherd would always go ahead and they would walk the path. And if any boulders were there or logs were there where animals could hide behind, they would move them from the path. They would take the obstacles out of the way so that the path would be much easier and safer for the sheep. Well, what did the sheep do? Being the smart sheep that they are, they'd go off the path. And all along, God's saying, well, wait a minute. I guided you to the path for your safety and easier walking. Why'd you go over there? It's because I didn't trust you, God. It's because I thought I could do it on my own this time, God. Thought I had enough intellect to be able to figure it out. And all along, God's saying, listen, that's a side road. That's not my path. And then you know what happens on that path? Life hurts. Life struggles. Life gets hard. And we get back on the path that we need to be on. And that is God's guidance. When he says that in all of our ways, acknowledging him, and he shall, he will guaranteed guide us, direct our path. And he will be that good shepherd that goes ahead and clears the obstacles out of our way. He will be that God who allows us to live in this broken world, but still be able to take some of the obstacles out of our way so that we will walk that better road, or that, if we say easier, it's tough to say an easy road, but he is a God that's going to remove, making a smooth path, basically a way of life, better, bringing us to the appointed goal. What is the appointed goal of God, and where is God bringing us to? Well, the appointed goal is what? Back with him, back to heaven. I mean, God's goal in life is to bring all his creation, mankind, shouldn't say all his creation, the animals ain't going, sorry. But anyway, I'll probably have something said about that, but animals don't go to heaven. Dogs ain't there either, whatever. Anyway, when we go to heaven as his human mankind creation, that's his whole goal. He's bringing us back. He's bringing us back home. That's why all heaven rejoices when one of his children come home. That's why he said, leave the 99 and go for the one that's lost. That's why he said for you and I to trust him. And he will direct, if we acknowledge him with everything we have, he will make our path less bumpy. Doesn't say it's going to be completely bumpy, just a little less. And he'll make it with less obstacles in our way. The only time, and I'm careful with this, because there are times that God allows things in our life just so that he can have a testimony. We didn't do anything. We didn't choose to go off path. There are obstacles every now and then in our path because God wants to test us. Remember in James 1, he wants to teach us. He wants to see if we will actually walk as we believe our faith wants us to walk. And I don't know about you, sometimes I pass, sometimes I fail. We don't all get a perfect score every time. But when we come to this understanding, we come to the straight paths that God's given us and removing all the obstacles, again, putting us to that easier, not easy, but easier life. He wants us, I believe, when we see that, that he shall direct the paths, he wants us to be in a way that less problematic, less obstacles that we have to overcome. And I'll tell you, it all begins with chapter 2. If you'll receive my word, incline thine ear unto the wisdom, apply your heart. See, chapter 2, 1 through 5 is the how-to of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's how do I get, I want that. Do you want, everybody wants that, right? Everybody wants to be able to come to trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct our path. Everybody wants that, right? Everybody wants to walk a little bit of an easier road. The how-to is in chapter 2. So my understanding and my encouraging to me, if you get to a point where James begins to say, who among you is wise with understanding? What is he really asking? Okay, who's trusting in the Lord? Okay, so he's asking them, instead of saying, who among you is wise, he could have said, who among you is really trusting God? Who among you is just staying the same faithful child of God in the midst of being dispersed among and losing everything and not having the easy things of life? Who among you are you still trusting God? I'm going to tell you, I speak my own life. I lost my trust many times through my life because I was in too much of a hurry, wanted to figure it out, wanted to make it work. And I think we've all been there. We can all remember times in our lives when we've done the same thing. So when James asked that question, it goes much deeper than, yeah, I got 100 on my last exam. That's not what he's asking. He's asking, what's your life look like? Are you trusting God enough? And the answer to that from all of us would be no. I will answer it for us. We are not trusting God enough. Even though we're giving it our best and we're trusting God for all we have, it is so difficult for you and I just to let go, walk into the world of the unknown, and say, God, I trust you to get me through this. That's hard. That goes against every grain in our human mindset, because we are constantly taught the different. If you want to achieve, go to college, get the degrees, get the better jobs, you want to be a success, all those things are drummed into us. And we've drummed them into our kids as parents. We want them to succeed. We want them to do well. And so when it comes down to it, the same thing Solomon said in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. When it all comes down to it, Solomon said what? Fear God and obey God. In all of his wisdom, he could have said unbelievable wisdom because he was the smartest man that was on the planet at that time. And he said it all boils down to this. As far as this preacher is concerned, fear God and obey him. Now you think that would be kind of simple for us, right? There's only two things that God really wants from us. It starts there. From that, things will multiply. But all God wants us to do is fear. Why? Because when we fear God, we'll start to understand him. When we fear God, we'll start to incline our ear to him. When we fear God, we'll start to seek him as silver, as precious treasure. We'll start to obey and understand. Do you think God just sits up there and it's almost like a college freshman, you know? They walk into the first class, they get a syllabus, and they are blown out of the water. How am I going to get all this done? He wants a paper every day and yada, 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 yada. Forgetting the fact you got 18 weeks to get it done. You think it all needs there. But God did not, he gave us the Bible, but he didn't give us, say, listen, here's everything in your mind that you're going to need to know the rest of your life. He doesn't give that to us. But we'll know what he gives us? Him. Him. He says, you're not going to be able to handle the truth if I tell you. You're not going to be able to handle what you're going to have to go through in life if I tell you now. You're not going to be able to figure it out if I tell you now. Trust me. Trust me. And I'm going to tell you what, if we could get there, when those things do come in our way, the obstacles do happen, we will not fall as far and as hard as those who do not fear God and do not know him. And that's the path. Ronnie? It's a beginning. And again, so in a world today that doesn't even know what a Bible is, how are they going to understand the fear of God? I mean, Kathy, you know, I mean, kids today, there's no Bible in their homes. It just blows my mind away in the short amount of years how far we have fallen. And Scripture says we're one generation away. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a true statement. One generation. And that's not too many years. And so in order to help our kids, in order to teach them, in order to help people around us, we've got to teach them to fear God. Well, what does that look like? What does that mean? How can I see you, somebody pointing to me, how can I see you fear the Lord? According to Scriptures, then I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to have a life that is going to seek him. I want his wisdom. I want to spend time with him. I want to find out who he is. I want to trust him more. It all comes to a heart desire and a man's mind decision. A heart's desire and a mind's decision. Listen, it's a discipline. I wish God would just say, boink, you got it. I wish that when I slept on my books before the exam too, and it didn't work. It ain't going to work any other way. Why? Have you heard the old adage that if you work for it, it means more to you? If you get it free, it doesn't mean as much. Obviously, the world we're living in, and they get it all free, it doesn't mean as much. That's why you see everything laying out in the front yards. That's why you don't see things taken care of. Why? It's free. I'll get another one. God said, if I, now salvation, beyond salvation I'm talking, salvation is free. There's nothing you're going to do for that. I'm talking a life lived for Christ. If he did it for us, it wouldn't mean as much to us. And he's simply saying, listen, you've got to step out into the unknown and then trust me. You're not going to do it any other way. God doesn't operate. At times he gives us those gold nuggets and we allow to see some things come together or reasons why. And that's awesome times when we all of a sudden we know that we only prayed to God about a certain thing and he answered it specifically. And I know God did it. God does it all the time. But man, I'm going to tell you what a difference it makes. And I still am convinced in studying through these verses that Proverbs will continue to teach that those who follow wisdom have an easier and less problematic life. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but we'll have an easier life if you seek the wisdom, because when you're seeking wisdom, you're seeking God. And I tell you, it fits together with everything else in Scripture. And so, again, when we need to really come and have an understanding that my wisdom, no matter how smart, how intelligent, how much of the Bible I can memorize and depict and show you and prove you points, is nothing compared to what I could do if I simply said, God, just speak through me. It's all you. And God will do a much greater job, much better thing than we could ever do. Any questions or comments on any of that? Add to that. Y'all trying to show your wisdom, huh? I mean, has it clicked with you about how important it is to simply trust them? Simply trust them. And that's not easy in our world in which we live, because we are told, taught, and trained just the opposite. All through our lives, through our work world, through everything. You know, we're told to step it up, you know. Take that ladder, work that ladder, do all you can, be all you can. That's our military's motto, you know. And so we are programmed to think that we actually can do it without him. And sometimes we may succeed in a few things in life. But boy, I tell you what, when it comes down to it, I just want to step back, let go, and let God figure it out. Now, that doesn't get you off the hook and doesn't allow you to sit back spiritually and sit, okay, I'm just going to wait for God. No. God said step, remember? You step and then I'll show. So it's you and I walking faithfully into the unknown, just trusting God for it. And that's tough. It's very difficult in our lives. Any questions or comments on that? Yes. It's very difficult to praise God when on one hand you know he could do whatever he wants to do and can fix whatever he wants to fix. Why didn't he? That why didn't he comes from a mindset of, I want what I want. Why didn't you do that? Comes from a selfishness, I think, a selfish heart. Listen, we're in our human state, we're selfish people. We are very selfish in our human state. And when we surrender that to God, we become unselfish. When we surrender that to God, we let God make the choices, as we've been studying on Wednesday nights, Romans 10:11, that God's sovereignty, if you believe in it and you truly believe in it, you're going to let him make that choice. You're going to accept that choice he makes. And that's part of trusting him. So the sovereignty of God, the trusting God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, it all goes hand in hand. And you can't have one without the other. We like to try to dice God in pieces. I will praise God for this, but I will argue God because of this. Or I will let him have my life in this area, but this area, it's mine. And that's how we live our lives. We dice him apart. And God says in the scriptures, trust in the Lord with all. There's no dicing there. It's either all or nothing with God. And that's what I like about God. Listen, we try to make it so much difficult. Why do you think it's called childlike faith? Because we as adults try to have to figure it out instead of just saying, oh, yeah, okay. Kids, they have a faith, don't they? Kids just accept what you tell them and they walk up, at least they used to. Anymore, it's getting harder and harder. But, you know, you tell them something and they're like, they take your word for it, it's okay. But adults, let me figure that one out. I'm not going to believe that until I can figure it out. Well, you just blew it. Because we proved tonight that your smarts are never going to figure it out. You're not smart enough to figure them out. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. And that's the kind of God I want to trust in. Because he knows the plan. He knows the path. And if I want to have a little bit of an easier, I should have thought of this like 5 surgeries ago, you know? Maybe it would have been a little easier. But I don't want to make light of it because it is very serious in our lives. Because I really think that's why we have what we have today in what we call church. We have a lot of churches who have built dynasties instead of ministries. We have a lot of churches who think they got a handle and they are the kingpin on the block. Why? It's not about an address. It's about the kingdom. And I think we've come away from this in our thinking. And it even our private lives. So just for me to think through, for you to think through what we've seen tonight. How many times last week did you either pray about it and then didn't hear an answer quick enough, did it on your own anyway, or maybe just made choices and didn't even pray about it? Does God care about hearing the little details of our life? Kind of think so. Does God want to know when we are hurting? Absolutely. Does God want to know the inward issues of our heart? He already does. But when we acknowledge them, we get on the same page with him. That's when we see God do some things. And maybe in your prayer life, you haven't seen God do a lot of things. Well, then maybe it's because you're not on his page. He's going to do them anyway. We've got to trust him. Even when we don't know, even when we don't see, I think that's the best time we find out who God is. And thus we go through things in life to bring us to a point where we have no other option but to look up and trust him. And at that moment, man, I'm going to tell you what, and I haven't talked to too many people, probably I can maybe count on one hand, people who have gone through tremendous struggles in their life and came on to the other side of it, that did not make the statement, I learned more about my God in the midst than I ever would any other way. I haven't heard very few people say, well, I didn't get it. That state, and once you get there, once you get through it, you look back and you have found a different God on the way out. Every one of them. Because why? Because they trusted him and the knowledge of God came with that trust. And that's exactly what Proverbs Solomon was saying. That's what James was trying to tell them. So our goal in life is to try to give the same thing, is to get there. Go back and study through chapter 2 in the beginning of it and just study. If you do this, 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 then. But you and I got to step out and do the ifs. And I'll tell you, ifs are very difficult in our lives. Ifs, coulda, shoulda, wouldas will destroy you trying to figure out life. I only would have done this, it would have been better. Maybe. Could have done this. Maybe. Should have done. Maybe. See, we have those thought processes in our mind that literally keep us away from making it to the other side of the valley that we walk through in this life. And I think that's in the wisdom we have in our God. Any other comments, questions, and any of that? Another one, Ronnie. Well, then, that's just it. I mean, man today, if you take man as a general statement, man has come to a point where they have out-created. And I think it was Elon Musk even made the statement that when in creating the AI, the artificial intelligence in these people, they didn't realize in creating it what it meant to create something smarter than a human with no conscience. Because a robot will analyze and spit back an answer faster than any human being right now. But they don't have a conscience. They're going to, have you met somebody that spoke without a conscience? They tell you how it is, like it is, whether you want to hear it or not. That's the same concept. And they've created that. And he himself has said the danger zone that we are now in. Because they have no emotions, no feelings, and no conscience. See, the conscience is what belongs to God in our life. That's part of God's being. That's the part that he gets, is our conscience. Because that's where we are convicted. That's where we understand truth. That's where we get those, maybe it's right, maybe it's not. That's your conscience. You don't have that, you don't have nothing. Yep, we are. And God has made us in ways that they'll never be able to recreate. But at the same time, taking out the emotion, the will, that's just creating a puppet to do whatever someone else tells it to do. And that's dangerous when you've got those in charge who want to use it for their way of doing things. But God is above it all. That's the most exciting thing that we can know today. And no matter what we see, no matter what we face, someday everybody answers for what they do and what they didn't do. But so that's why we take it personal. I'm the one that has to fear my God. I'm the one that has to trust him. I can't depend on anybody else to help me get there. It's my choice. It's my life. I've got to trust my God more. And so that's a challenge to all of us. We want to know more, you got to trust him more in the midst of whatever we see in life. Any other comments, questions? All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll close up for tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for giving us that understanding. And Lord, if we could just allow it to just really sink in tonight, that no matter how well we may have a handle on things now, there will always be something that comes into our life that we just can't do it without you. God, I pray as we put forth that tonight through the Solomon and through James, and Father, we realize that that is the reason why your word is so clear, that we need to seek after you, the wisdom, and we need to fear you, trust you, we need to honor you, we need to obey you, and all those things that sometimes we may set aside are the important stepping stones to simply be able to walk a path that you have laid for us. And God, I pray that you will just allow us each to just look in within our own lives and think through, when last week did I not apply this to my life? I believe in it, but didn't apply it. And God, may that prepare us for the week ahead. May we be more sensitive, maybe more aware of, and Lord, may we begin to just show our trust more and more. And God, we just thank you and pray you continue to give us safety tonight and through a new work week. May you use us, each of us, where you find us and place us into this world. And Father, we just thank you and give you the praise in your son's name. Amen. All right. Thank you. We're dismissed tonight.